Green pass too low, but Curry recovers. Shot clock winding down. Curry's going to have to put it up, launches it up. Shot clock. Oh, he knocks it down! Steph Curry with the shot clock expiring.
Yeah! NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. It's Monday, June 4. I'm your host, James Clemens. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out Larry Arm Studios, New York City, New York, watching like eight dudes working on a giant truck across the road from me and causing a whole bunch of noise and havoc. It's awesome. So if you hear trucks beeping in the background, blame New York, not me, man. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, we're here making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Finals today. Just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's what we do. On today's show, we're going to rep last night's blowout NBA Finals Game 2, including Steph Curry's insane game. And we'll try to figure out just what the Cavs can do to turn it around. So we break down all the good stuff from that. We'll rank all nine of Steph's record-breaking threes. Plus, there's also, the unpopular opinion of the day, Outback Takehouse. Get some flame-grilled takes. The Australian Player Watch and a brand new Bruce McAvaney delicious moment of the night. And because it's Monday, we've got a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award, a new deli review as Matthew Dellavedova swings by to review the new Star Wars movie Solo. It's a classic. It's episode 133. It's NBA Australia. Let's go! Oi, oi, oi. It's our mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dellavedova. Joy, I reckon the old Cavs could use me in the playoffs, eh? Anyway, you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better, because it is NBA Straya. We start every day with the NBA Straya Daily Whip Around. It's what we do. And look, let's wrap up last night's game. It was an absolute bloodbath between the Cavs and Warriors in Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Warriors win at 122-103. Mate, it was a bloodbath to the point where Spack-Eye LeBron was like bleeding out his bloody eyeball. How's that when you're like, oh, gross. Can we stop with the close-ups on your weird spack eye, LeBron? Who farted on his head? I mean, Draymond Green slapped him in the face. We all understand that. But someone's obviously given the old bastard pink eye. JR didn't only just fuck up the last point of the old game one there in regulation. He's clearly farted on LeBron's pillows. Jesus, JR, pull your head in. Anyway, Cleveland threw just about everything at the Warriors over and over and over. All the way through that second and third quarter. Could never get it lower than five, though. And the Warriors run away with it. Like, it was pretty crazy. They just go, all right, see this? This is the win. We're going to run away with it right now. Really sorry. Don't know what to tell you. Cavs actually won the third quarter, even though they came out of it down 10, which is bananas. And look, the Warriors, don't forget, were 14-18 this year and 1-2 in the playoffs when they lost the third quarter. They're 57-11 when they win the third. And they lost this. Didn't matter. Cavs suck. It was crazy. So they win the third quarter, the Cavs there. Then the Avalanche just hits in the fourth. It's like the Cavs are kind of skied to safety down there at the lodge. And they're like, all right, guys, let's get some drinks. Let's win this game. And then the Avalanche just goes, dude, I'm still coming. Bang! Fucking wipes them off the face of the fucking earth. Pretty crazy, though. So in terms of like the actual gameplay, whatever, this was kind of fun. But you just kind of knew that the Warriors just had them, right? It's like, oh, Jesus, I just can't see what these guys are going to do about this one. Oh. And there wasn't much. Like, LeBron was a little bit quiet. So let's like wrap up each of the teams. For the Cavs, they shot 41% from the field. Not good enough there, son. 33% from three. But I mean, come on. The rest of the team beyond LeBron just weren't good enough at all, as per bloody usual for the Cavs. Tell you that much. And in terms of like the actual stats for LeBron, look, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 13 assists, still shot 50% from the field. He goes 10 of 20 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. That's awesome, right? Great game. Yeah, nah, not really. 5 turnovers, but, 13 assists. He was out there kind of just crushing it. Just didn't matter because his spud teammates just keep letting him down. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But one thing I wanted to like keep bringing up is about how LeBron, 13 assists, and it was like barely brought up on the broadcast, like 2-3 times maybe most. Mate, I've listened and watched NBA games for a pretty long time. If Kobe had have had 13 assists in an NBA Finals game, do you know how much people would have been jacking off about, Kobe's going into distributor mode. He's going into, and just blowing everywhere. It's just fucking gross, mate. Whereas LeBron, 13 assists, we're like, oh yeah, that's pretty normal. LeBron is fucking bananas, mate. That is ridiculous. Mate. So 29, 9, and 13 for LeBron. Pretty bloody good. Kevin Love. Yep, still a spud. I'll tell you that much. Oh, Jesus. Look, he ends up with 22 points, 10 rebounds. You're like, oh, that's a pretty good stat line, bro. Actually, shot 7 of 18. Not good. And also had, 2 of 8 from 3? 3 of 8 from 3. Ugh. Come on, Kev. You've got one fucking job, mate. Hit a couple more threes. That's all I ask, bro. 7 of 18. Holy shit. Ugh. Just like every time he's in the paint as well, you're just like, come on, man, just get up and hit the fucking shot. How is it so hard for a dude who's like, oh man, Kevin Love, he's a paint scorer. Minnesota Kevin Love, he's deadly in the paint. Fucking, I don't know, these playoffs, he's basically like 4 for 124. 4 for 124 there. In the fucking paint. It's just horrendous. So he comes out like just pure fucking volume, 18 shots, 22 points. You're like, oh, that's not a bad stat line. It's like, yeah, but did you watch him fucking play? Ugh. Kevin Spud, more like it. J.R. Smith, holy shit. I can talk about him in a little bit, but 2 of 9 from the field. 5 points, did not have a bounce back game. Jeff Green, 2 of 7. Spud or hero. We're going to talk about that in a second as well. It's what we do with Jeff Green. Oh, jeez. George Hill, 15 points. You're like, oh, that's pretty good for George Hill. Yeah, 5 of 12 from the field, mate. He did at least go 3 of 6 from the three-point line, but when he was, like, driving into the paint and everything, you're like, oh, this one's going to get blocked. Yep, got blocked. Yeah, this one's not going to get off the rim. Yeah, got off the rim. Too bad. 3 assists and 2 steals as well for George Hill, but yeah, not great. Tristan Thompson, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 5 of 8 from the field, but I don't know, man. There just wasn't much else help there for LeBron, right? Like, it seemed like they're like, oh, early on, we're getting people into the groove. This is pretty good. We've got a couple of double-figure point scorers. You got 4 double figures, and you're like, oh, yeah. But meanwhile, the Warriors are just fucking torching you. I don't know what to tell you there, Palos. Larry Nance wasn't quite as effective last night, sort of running around like a chook with its head cut off. For his 12 minutes, he had 2 points, 6 rebounds, which is, you know, his job, and 1 block. But missed the only shot he had, and just defensively, he kind of just got a little bit torched there, didn't he? Yeah, didn't he? The Warriors, they shot 50%, 57% as a team, 41.7% from 3. And obviously a lot of that to do is with little the nerd, Steph Curry, 33 points, 9 of 17 from 3. That is an NBA Finals record, 9 made threes. Oh, Jesus. Unreal. 11 of 26 overall for the little dork himself. He also had 8 assists and 7 rebounds. 5 turnovers, but come on, you get that on the big jobs. 33 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Pretty bloody good. The coward, Kevin Durant, with 26. He was back. 10 of 14 from the field this time after 8 of 22 in game 1. 2 of 3 from 3 for the coward. So he ends up with 26 points, 7 assists, and 9 rebounds does the coward. That's pretty good. And Klay Thompson, this is just ridiculous. 20 points, 8 of 13. Couple of backbreaking threes. Hits 3 of 8 from 3. But this is for a dude who wasn't meant to play, like legit at all. To the point where Draymond didn't think he was playing and was busy texting Nick Young and telling him to get ready. And like, I need some minutes from you, young fella. What the fuck is that, Klay? That's amazing. If you ever need proof that weed has magical healing powers, look no further than Klay bloody Thompson. That was unbelievable. 20 points, 8 of 13. The dude doesn't have a leg. He's playing on one fucking leg. Unreal. Anyway, Draymond Green, 5 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, plus 19. So you might be like, but 5 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists aren't very good, bro. It's like, well, actually, plus 19 is pretty fucking definitive, mate. Holy shit, defensively he was everywhere. 0 of 2 from three, turned back into the Draymond Spud shooting that we come to know and love in these playoffs. But come on, man, like for the Warriors, a lot of this was just the fact that no one missed. Shaun Livingston, 10 points, 5 of 5 from the field. JaVale fucking McGee, 12 points, 6 of 6 from the field. Even David goddamn West hit a 3. How can we expect the Cavs to win a game when no one on the fucking Warriors misses? That is absolutely insane. Seriously, that's 3 players who shot perfect from the floor. Meanwhile, Klay Thompson goes 8 of 13 and Kevin Durant goes 10 of 14. That is absolutely bananas, mate. And so there you go. The Warriors, 122 points, 103. They just had it cooking, and they had it cooking early too. And it was like those Livingston and JaVale McGee buckets that really sort of just got them into the flow. You know, they're not leaning on KD. They're not leaning on Steph early. And as soon as you have that sort of weight, that volume of points sort of sitting there, you can obviously just move into your offense and then slowly work KD, slowly work Steph into it. And Steph's second and fourth quarters were fucking ridiculous. KD filled in the gaps. And boom, that's how you win a finals game there. Palos! Also, the 20-4 assist turnover ratio for the Warriors is pretty good. 11-4 is the Cavs ratio. 20-4. That is fucking insane. So Golden State, they win it. There you go. That was an absolute crushing ass-kicking for the ages. Like, it was just sort of over and over and over. That second quarter, they had scored them by 9, and then same thing happened in the fourth. And you're like, oh, well, Cavs basically kind of played them to a draw in the first and third quarters. Like, yeah, there's 2 other quarters, you dickhead. You can't get outscored by 18 in those two and expect to win. So Golden State are going to Ohio up 2-0. And our title prediction of Warriors sweep is still in play. So not really that surprised, are you? I don't know. I'm not. All right, let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not that noise. That's a knife.
That was a knife. Steph Curry, come the fuck on, man. If this was going to be anybody else, you're bloody dreaming, aren't you? You really are.
He's dreaming.
Tell him he's dreaming. Tell him he's dreaming.
Dreaming.
You'd be dreaming if it was anybody else but Steph from last night. That was unbelievable. And it's so much fun just to see him go off. Even though I think he's a giant fucking dork, goddamn, dude is good. So he goes 5 of 5 from 3 in the fourth quarter, breaks the record for most threes in an NBA Finals game with his 9, which is just patently fucking insane. Also breaks the record for most threes across the first 2 games of a playoffs, which was, he's now at 14 for those 2 games, breaking his own record from 2017. And Mookie Blaylock in the 97 East semis. Holy shit. On you there, Steph. Pretty bloody good. So as mentioned, he goes 33 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, just crushing it. Steph, 11 of 26, 9 of 17 from 3. The 5 turnovers, but come on, this was an amazing game. 1 for the fucking ages, that's for sure. And, you know, also won himself an NBA Finals MVP with that display. That's how it is. Like, we called this at the start of the series. Klay, KD, Draymond, they're just not going to do enough. Steph, all he needed to do was have 2 amazing games where everyone goes, oh shit, Steph Curry's incredible, and he was going to get the Finals MVP. Well, that's now 2. Nailed it. So KD, Dre, Klay, they haven't done enough. Steph has already got 2 huge games in the bag. So that NBA Finals MVP, the one thing missing from his resume, that's in the bag now, unless LeBron brings the Cavs all the way back. So how about we rank all 9 of Steph Curry's record-breaking 9 three-pointers? You ready? I mean, this is a little bit nerdy. But it is the Steph Curry that we all know and love that we're talking about, right? And what is he? He is a
nerd.
That's right. I love it. So let's get on to it. Number 9, the first three-pointer that he hit, which was a handoff from Durant. Pretty nice one from the, top right? Right wing? Yeah, pretty good. The 8 on the left, number 8, left wing, second quarter, over the top of Larry Nance's outstretched fingers. Pretty good. A little bit of a sort of slid into it, nailed it, no problems. The 7th best Steph Curry 3 of the 9 from last night, the left wing second quarter with Kevin Love basically champing in his ear, about to punch him in the head, and he gets it off, nails it, no problems. The sixth best, fourth quarter, the game clincher, up 18 over Chetty Osman. That was pretty nice. Gave it a little bit of a hint of a back, and just, it was a long way out too. You're like, oh shit, nailed it. The fifth best from last night, the fourth quarter, they're up 10. Gets a sneaky handoff corner play with Draymond as Nance, Larry Nance Jr. goes straight flying past him into the stands, and Curry just goes, oh, I've got this one, bro. Bang. Nails it. The fourth best, it was just before that. Fourth quarter, they're up 7. He makes Larry Dance. Stops on a dime. Swish bomb. Larry Nance dance. I love it, man. That was a great one, too. Larry Nance nearly went ass over. He held it all together, but he was out there dancing by himself. That was a beautiful three, too. The third best, Steph Curry three from last night. At the end of the second quarter, he caps a huge run with a weird run-in three where he basically lands. He shoots it from like outside from a very long way and like lands basically doing the splits, watches it go in and gives the Warriors a 15-point margin. It was delicious. What do you reckon there, Bruce?
He's one of the most watchable players in the competition. What a delicious young player he is. It's Cyril Rioli. Delicious, delicious, delicious.
It was delicious, delicious, delicious. The four-point play in the fourth quarter, that's the second best one we had. That basically sealed the game. They're up 12, but they're still over 5.5 minutes to go. They get the peek-and-boo flare screen, gets to the corner, hits his eighth three as Kevin Love fucking crushes him. Four-point play, game, set, match, mate. But the best Steph Curry three-pointer from last night, obviously it's that insane shot early in the fourth where you knew it was on, and he was feeling it. This was the one that we played at the start of this episode there. Shot clock winding down. He's going the wrong way. Has two dudes on him. He's 35 feet from the hoop. Tosses it up. Looks beautiful. And bam! Money from the fucking car park. His 7th three of the night. Unbelievable. 9 threes. NBA Finals record. Steph Curry, that's going straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
It really, really is. All right, what about old mate no mates for today? Who was our old mate no mates?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? It's still J.R. Smith, because holy shit, not only did he fuck up game one and cost the Cavs a game one win on the road in Golden State, but J.R. did the inexcusable. He fucked up and then he didn't back it up in game two with a good game. At this point, everyone, fans, opposition, your own team, they're just fucking done with you, JR. That is brutal, mate. I mean, 2 of 9 from the field. Dude, come on, man. You got to get yourself going in this game. If you're going to like basically convince people that you're not a fucking dipshit, you can't go 2 of 9 for 5 points, 1 of 4 from three, and just spud up the rest of the goddamn game. 31 minutes for 5 fucking points. What are you doing, JR? What are you fucking doing? This was just gross. So you are old mate, no mates today. How about the bitch ass of the night, though? Bitch ass of the night. Let's give some Draymond's bitching. Is getting to neck level, I'll tell you that much. Holy shit. Draymond is literally at the point now where he's like arguing calls that go against him that everybody else is like, Dude, you quite clearly fucking want that guy. You can't then bitch and moan at the refs and go, oh, but he traveled. Like, you fucking cannoned yourself into him and then you ran around half the fucking arena screaming at the top of your lungs, bitching and moaning about a call. How the fuck you don't get a T there is absolutely beyond me. Like, just say that's Chetty Osman who does that. Do you think he gets T's up? Of course he fucking gets T'd up. That's insane. That's some bitch-ass shit there, Draymond. But also, on the flip side for the Cavs, Tristan Thompson moaning after the game about people saying how he was getting torched by Steph and his defense and everything like that. He's like, oh, man, fuck that. That's some fucking... And he's dropping F-bombs left, right, and center. I don't know, Tristan. Don't bitch and moan. Just play better. That's all I ask. Anyway, let's check out on who was our spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. It's going to be every single Cav not named LeBron. That's right, they go 7 of 23 from 3. And you might think, oh, but bro, Kevin Love had 22 and 10. Yeah, he also missed a bunch of crucial fucking shots that would have kept them in the goddamn game. George Hill, 5 of 12. JR, 2 of 9. Jeff Green, spud or hero Jeff Green, 2 of 7, 0 of 2 from 3. Just absolutely fucking ridiculous, mate. Like, come on, man. Like, you can't let David West outshoot half your fucking team from 3. Steph Curry had as many threes as the entire Cleveland Cavalier team. Steph had 9 of 17. The Cavs shot 9 of 27 as a team. You are all the fucking spuds. Unbelievable. Kevin Love, you're now Kevin Spud. That is unbelievable. Anyway, how about we move on to the Bruce McAvaney Memorial Deliciously Special Moment of the Night.
He's one of the most watchable players in the competition. What a delicious young player he is. It's still a reality. Delicious, delicious, delicious.
Delicious, 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 delicious. Everything JaVale McGee did last night, all the alley-oop finishes, all the ways he didn't screw up was amazing. JaVale McGee, that was a delicious, 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 delicious showing. He got the start, and in 18 minutes, he goes 6 of 6 from the field for his 12 points, only has 2 rebounds, but has a block as well. And JaVale, across the first 2 games of the NBA Finals, is 8 of 11. Sorry, whoa, 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 whoa. 8 of 9 from the field. The only shot he's missed is that clanked dunk. That is absolutely delicious, JaVale. On you, mate. That's pretty good. How about better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
That's right, coming for everybody. That's right. Who is better than Lonzo Ball last night? It was Jordan Bell once more. Game 2, 5 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. That is now official. Jordan Bell in the NBA Finals has 9 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal more than Lonzo Ball has ever scored in the NBA Finals. All right, how about we move on to the new segment, the Mate LeBron is Fucking Nuts segment. Yes, LeBron is nuts. That's an amazing intro, isn't it? Nuts. How nuts was LeBron last night? He played all but the last 4 minutes and 9 seconds of Game 2, which was patently bloody ridiculous. And that means over the last 3 games, he has played approximately every single one of the minutes available, apart from when his shitbird teammates had actually got him blown out. And it's like, all right, man, you better sit down because we're down like 20 and this is fucked. So last night, LeBron accounted for 28% of the Cavs' points, 52% of their assists, 21.4% of their rebounds, played more minutes than anyone on the court, shot the ball more efficiently than anyone who took more than 8 shots for the Cavs. And the best bit is LeBron had 27 potential assists last night. 27 potential assists. The Cavs, they shot 14 of 32 off his passes and only 5 of 16 from 3. They're shooting 8 of 33 from 3 from LeBron passes in this series. He has 50 potential assists so far across these 2 games and only actually has 21 actual assists because of his fucking spud teammates. That is unbelievable. Also unreal was the footage that came out today of Game 1 coming out after the J.R. Smith bungle when they get back to the bench. And then LeBron finally, about 2 minutes into this footage, LeBron finds out that they had a timeout left. He nearly fucking Thanoses everybody. He's like, all right, time to go, friends. I'm just going to kill all of you. Anyway, this is crazy, man. 29 points, 13 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, and that was even close to being good enough. He has 80 points in the first 2 games, which is the fourth most ever in the NBA Finals. I'll tell you, LeBron is nuts. All right, we're going to be back right after these words with a whole bunch of more fun stuff.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's time for NBA Story Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And number 1, are Cleveland cooked? Yeah Nah. Yeah, I mean, but we knew that before the series, right? They're literally a J.R. Smith boneheaded screw-up away from not being cooked, though. So we'll get to hang on to that for the next two games while the Warriors smash them in Cleveland. it's like, oh, but they nearly won game one, bro. It's like, yeah, but they didn't. So now they're going to get swept still. Holy shit. It's just tough, man. It's really tough because I'd much rather see, like, you know, LeBron take it to the Warriors and see how they go and get fucking out there, get amongst it, smash them if they had a one game one. But, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda. That's how it goes. Number two, the Cavs should just run out a bit more. Kyle Korver or Rodney Hood just to see what happens. Yeah, nah. Yeah, because fuck it. Just get Hood, Korver, Osman out there. Just fuck your shit up. JR, I don't know why the fuck he's playing 31 minutes and shooting 2 of 9 from the field after one of the most boneheaded plays. At about, like, what? 8 minutes of this sort of shit, you're like, ah, yeah, JR doesn't have it tonight. I better run somebody else out there. What the fuck y'all doing, Ty Lue? Wake the fuck up, mate. Unbelievable. So it's going to be interesting to see if they do get some Rodney Hood, get some more Korver. Come on, man. We spent a whole bunch of the Indiana series, a whole bunch of the Toronto series, like, losing our minds about how the Kevin Love, Kyle Korver two-man game was amazing. And now the Cavs are like, what? What do you mean? Like, Kyle Korver? Is he on our team? It's like, fuck, dudes, wake the shit up. This is bananas. Get him out there. Basically what you got to do is start trapping Steph. This whole switching thing is basically just putting your goddamn bigs on an island against Steph when they've only got basically two other dudes who can handle the rock anyway. So I don't know what the fuck you're so afraid of. Get up in Steph's shit, fuck him up, hurt him a bit, give yourselves a chance. It's not rocket surgery, you morons. Right, anyway. So that'll be interesting to see what the changes are. Anyway, we'll talk about for the game preview on Wednesday. But anyway, screw the refs. Yeah, nah. Yeah, come on. We got this also question from Carson, our listener Carson Maddox there. The fix is in. The refs have received direct instruction to screw the Cavs, and thus a Golden State championship is inevitable. Yeah, nah. Oh, nah, yeah, not direct instruction because Adam Silver is smarter than David Stern. But still, come on, man. Some of these calls are beyond fuck. Like that non-call on LeBron when he's gang-tackled on that wide receiver pass. And the refs, and he basically falls out. He's basically pushed and falls out of bounds. And you're like, dude, he's quite clearly fouled on this fucking play. Then they don't call anything. And then the fucking refs have the gall to tee up Ty Lue for calling them out for their bullshit? What the fuck? That is just some next level ref bullshittery. Holy shit. But yeah, I mean, it's not helping and it's making the Golden State Championship inevitable. Holy fuck. I don't know if they're out there to screw the Cavs directly, but it fucking seems like it, doesn't it? Anyway, moving on. Was Spackeye LeBron the most terrifying of all the LeBrons? Yeah, nah. Yeah, Spackeye LeBron is pretty brutal. Like, receding hairline headband LeBron is right up there as well. Short suit LeBron is not great either. But Spackeye LeBron, holy crap. Can we just not do the fucking close-ups when he's like eyeballs like, bull? Not great, man. Speaking of short suits. Yeah, nah. Yeah, look, hey, man, it gets hot. I'm all in for shorts and suits. Come on, man, we're all Australian here. Well, I am. Shorts, necessary part of life. Wear them with suits? Sure. Why the fuck not? Good on yous. It was weird that Draymond then wore the shorts afterwards. You know? But we get it. Draymond, it's not that funny. I mean, it's kind of funny. Still. And then finally, the Philadelphia 76ers are dragging their heels on firing Brian Colangelo, and that's good because you don't want to be seen as bowing to the baying mob. Yeah, nah. Nah, get the fuck out of here. It's like, it's now for no reason they haven't fired Brian Colangelo. It's pretty clear that he's fucked up. His wife's fucked up. There's a whole bunch of shit out there that's out there because of him. It's done, mate. Like, your entire, like, franchise is being tarnished by this guy. Like, you got to get rid of the dude. Like, it's done. I'm not out here just going, hey, fire people, but fucking hell, dude. Your entire franchise is looking like a fucking laughingstock. The longer you drag this out, the more people are like, dude, get your fucking house in order. Do you think free agents are looking at your franchise now and going, well, that seems like a stable organization? Jesus. Speaking of which, let's play quick dickhead of the weekend.
Dickhead of the Weekend.
That's right, Dickhead of the Weekend, Brian Colangelo and the Colangelo Party.
Colangelo Party. Colangelo Party.
And by extension, the Sixers organization. I mean, come the fuck on, dude. You got to look good. I get it. And these things take time and you're all like, hey, man, we're just taking our time with the investigation. But come the fuck on. Twitter figured this out 4 days ago. You're still dicking around going, oh, look, we really need to look into everything. Dude, I get that you got to know who you want to hire before you fire your man. I get that. So maybe it's just the negotiations with David Griffin are taking a while because he's like, hey, man, I know that you guys are fucked. I know you want me. Pay me my money. But come on, get to it. Sort this the fuck out. Brian Colangelo as well. What the fuck? That's a normal collar. Find a new slant. Jesus. All right, look at me, look at me. The unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
Look at me. LeBron was never going to win when he arrived in those Akadaka shorts again, man. I support short suits. Well, suit shorts. But why roll them out again? Like, you lost. You can't roll them out again and expect a different result. LeBron, you should know this. Come the fuck on, dude. You're smarter than that. That's weird. Makes me weird. I don't like that. Come on. You can't back it up with the same theme. All right, let's move on to Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback. That means double bloomin' onions and some Alice Springs chicken. That's right, Alice Springs chicken. It's emu. Barbecued emu. And today at Outback Takehouse, get a big oil drum can of Foster's with every flame grilled take. And today, we've got a 2-for-1 flame grilled take. Only at Outback. Number one, if the Cavs had King Deli of Maryborough still on their team, the Cavs would be up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. Also, LeBron James has been down 2-0 before, and two of the last three times, against the Boston Celtics this year and these same Golden State Warriors in 2016, he won. So LeBron James will win this series because going down 2-0 is all part of his plan. There you go. Two flame grill takes only at Outback. Wow. Outback Takehouse going into bat for Dally and LeBron, apparently. There you go. All right, we'll be back in just a second for the Australian Player Watch, a bunch of other fun stuff. You know it's good because it's awesome. All right, we'll be back in just a sec.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's time for the Australian Player Watch. Catching up on all the Australian players, what they're up to in the offseason. Ben Simmons, still out there dating a Kardashian. He got to throw out a first pitch at a Phillies game, but is gone. Very, very quiet on the old social media since the Kendall Jenner rumors are... popped off, but you can go to our Facebook and read NBA Straya's exclusive insight into his breakup with Tina Shea. That's going to be fun. So go read that. It's awesome. Dally in the gym getting ripped and dunking. Oh, did you see this video? Yeah, go to NBA Straya's Facebook and watch it. It's amazing. Thon Maker is in the gym with his brothers, keeping up with Matua Maker in the NBA Global Camp. Pretty bloody good. Joe Ingles, he's a stay-at-home dad at the moment. He's out there buying his kids bouncy castles. Pretty bloody good. I never had a bouncy castle as a kid. Unreal. but he's still classic. Patty Mills is out there fishing. Literally, he's gone fishing. He caught a very nice looking big red snapper as well out there with his fiance now. They got engaged. So that's very nice. On you, Patty. Last we saw of Aaron Baines, he was out there eating ramen. And Mango Matthew, he's at the beach and having very fun tweets about it's going to be a long night. Hey, on you, Mangok. Congrats on the sex. Nice one. All right, you ready for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board? Well, you can be, but it's actually going to be the Joe Ingles Inspiration Board today. So let's do it. He tweeted out, congrats, GQ. The gong won't know what hit them with all your designer clothing at David Anderson. Yeah, and then retweeted out the NBL tweeting about how, talk about a possible storybook ending to one of Australian basketball's most storied careers 20 years after he began his pro career with the Illawarra Hawks, David Anderson. Former New Orleans Hornet and Toronto Raptor, David Anderson is returning to the club for NBL 19. That is awesome. So David Anderson is signed with the Illawarra Hawks. Joe Ingles out there calling him GQ, dropping some knowledge. On you, David Anderson. That's awesome news. I love that. I love David Anderson. Got a lot of time for him. The original unicorn, stretched out Dally. Pretty bloody good. All right, and what about a quick Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for this week? Steph Curry wins it because 9 three-pointers in an NBA Finals game is nothing to sneeze at, and it's definitely Andrew Gaze, the Grey Mamba-esque. Thing is, Gazey knocked in 9 three-pointers a record 86 times over his career, so Steph's got a bit of a way to go. Remember, all numbers are approximate. But there you go, Steph Curry. You win this week's Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for today. That's pretty bloody good. And you know what? That's it for us today. We're back tomorrow with a bunch of ridiculousness. We'll probably have a guest in tomorrow. We'll do some fun, dumb stuff. We'll have our Game 3 preview Wednesday. And we've got a couple of other guests calling in during this week. So it's going to be really, really cool, really, really fun. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook. As mentioned, go check out that Ben Simmons Tina Shea breakup piece that we've got. It's awesome. Check out NBAAustralia.com while you're doing it. There's always stuff going up. Make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it, would you? It really helps us on the old iTunes ladders and shit like that. It's pretty good. Thanks to Rob Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Now, the best band in Australia. Their new single, I've Been Broken, is out now. Go hit them up. Request them on Triple J, whatever radio station you listen to. I've Been Broken, House Hats. It's awesome. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them all on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Deli review as Matthew Dellavedova reviews Solo, A Star Wars Story. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Hosan! Oi, 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 how the fuck are yous? It's old mate Deli over here, just taking a break from practicing dunking and swinging by the old NBA Australia offices to give you me latest pop culture review, eh? And speaking of which, did you see me dunk? It's fucking sick, mate. I alley-ooped myself in the gym and fucking dunked it. Fully flush, mate. It was sick as. And it was on a regulation rim, you dickheads. I saw some of your fucking comments and nah, get fucked. That was too a regulation rim, you dickheads. And if you've got any more fucking problems, come down to the Maryborough High School courts on Wednesday and I'll fucking sort you out. Anyway, so how are these fucking playoffs, eh? Like, I reckon me old mate LeBron and the Cavs, I reckon they could use a bit of fucking dough in there. I mean, I definitely wouldn't have fucked up the way my best mate JR did. Oh, what a dickhead move, eh? Felt pretty bad for him, though. Like, I had to call him and go, oh, it's all right, JR, you'll be fine, mate. And I'm sitting there going, nah, you're fucked. I would have just got the rebound and fucking dunked it, because Deli can dunk now. Watch out, everybody. Here comes Deli. All right, so that's enough about dunking. So for this week's review, I went and saw that new Star Wars movie, Solo. Or as it's meant to be, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Like, we get it, you fuckheads. It's a movie about Han Solo. Of course it's bloody Star Wars. Why are you going to say Star Wars Story? We fucking get it, you dickheads. Anyway, so I was like about Han Solo and shit, how he became Han Solo and shit. And look, no spoils or nothing, but it's got like how he and Chewie like hung out and shit, how he and Lando hung out and shit, and how he met that Khaleesi chick from Game of Thrones with the rack, eh? So that's pretty good. And look, I don't know about you, but like the fella who plays Han Solo is like fucking bullshit. He's not interesting or charming or anything, and it's pretty fucking hard to give that much of a fuck about, eh? I'll tell ya, I reckon they should have got fucking Deli in there. I would have done a better job, mate. I'm fucking charming as. Just ask me missus. Like, it's fucking sick seeing Chewie and Lando and shit like that. But the rest of it, you can kind of fucking take it or leave it, eh? I mean, that train scene is pretty fucking wild and pretty cool. But, and I love Woody Harrelson heaps, eh? But like, for a Star Wars movie, like, you kind of like, whatever. And it's not as fun as it probably should be. I reckon Deli for Han Solo, like Deli Han Solo is going to be fucking sick. I should just remake it. Make it way more fucking fun, eh? So, I don't know, mate. It was pretty fucking fine. Pretty good heist movie or whatever. Just seems a bit boring, eh? And I don't know, it felt a bit fucking blue. Looks like they shot it during a Maryborough High School footy match in the middle of the winter. It's all dreary and cold and shit. All it's missing is my best mate Plugger rooting some chick in the back of his Commodore wagon in the background. On ya, Plugger! Alright, so there you go. Solo was fine. Like, Han Solo is pretty sick, but come on, man. It only gets 10 out of 10 Dally Ones. And I'll only go see it another 2 or 3 times, eh? So, that's it for me. I'll speak to you next week on NBA Australia. Alright, later, cunts. Dally out!